This is Kindergarten Cop, and today is Thursday, October 30th, 2025. I will be reading from the Decatur Herald and Review. This morning on the front page, there is a picture under the title Halloween from One Patch to Another, and the photo shows Michael Mowry loading up over 100 pumpkins at Buxton's Garden and Flower Shop in Sullivan on Tuesday, October 28th. The pumpkins will be used to transform the playground at the Baby Talk location in Decatur into a pumpkin patch for enrolled families. There is also another picture that is under the heading Decatur Baby Talk stocks up to plot a gorgeous playground. And it shows Maria Goad, Baby Talk's early care and education director, said the pumpkin patch they are creating at their Decatur location will give families the experience of picking out their own pumpkin, and then they get to take it home. She added, a lot of them have transportation issues, so they don't get to go and experience this. And one final picture at the bottom of the page under that heading shows a Baby Talk van that is filled with pumpkins. This is an article under the title Baseball Co-op Eyed under Decatur Public Schools, and this was written by Valerie Wells. With the prospect of neither Eisenhower nor MacArthur High Schools having enough players for baseball in the spring, Decatur Public Schools is considering the option of having a co-op and combining both schools' players into one team. Athletic Director Craig Bundy told the school board at its Tuesday meeting that the process requires several steps, such as written assurance that all students at both schools will have equal opportunities to participate, and that it will be a two-year agreement, during which time the co-op must continue, even if more students choose to participate in the future. The agreement also would require that a team name and mascot be provided for approval by the Illinois High School Association conference in which they would participate, which, with enrollment of 860 at Eisenhower and 1,009 at MacArthur, would place them in Class 4A. The deadline for providing documentation and the application is February 1st. Superintendent Rochelle Clark said she only needed a consensus from the board at this point, not a formal vote, to allow the district to begin to gather the documentation for the application, and a formal vote would be on a future agenda if the high schools both agree to pursue the co-op. She also asked for broad guidelines that would allow consideration of other sports besides baseball if that need arises. Each sport requires a separate application. Board member Kevin Hale asked if there are other spring sports that seem to need a co-op. He had asked the administration to explore the possibility at an earlier meeting. Golf is already a co-op, Bundy said, while softball and track appear to have enough student interest to field a team at each school, though final determination has yet to be made. The board gave Clark that consensus, and Bundy will pursue the matter further. For today's obituaries, John M. Davis, 57, of Decatur, born August 19, 1968, passed away on Sunday, October 26, 2025. Visitation will be Saturday, November 1st, 2025, from 2 p.m. until the service time of 4 p.m. at the Moran and Goebel Funeral Home. Burial will take place at a later date in Camp Butler National Cemetery. Memories and condolences may be shared at moranandgoebel.com. Moran and Goebel Funeral Home is at 2801 North Monroe Street, Decatur, 62526. Turning to sports, we now look at high school sports. Decatur area high school sports. Volleyball cross country postseasons underway. This article was written by Will Foley. The girls' tennis state finals wrapped up over the weekend. Two Decatur area individuals and one doubles pair competed. Unity Christian senior Ella Sandgren, who competes for Maroa Forsyth in a co-op, won her first round match 6-0, 6-0 before losing 6-4, 6-4 in the second round. In the consolation bracket, she won her next two matches before bowing out in a 6-3, 6-2 fourth round loss. Mount Zion senior Peyton Kester lost 6-3, 6-2 in the opening round. She didn't concede a game in the first round of the consolation bracket before a 6-1, 6-1 second round loss the following round. In doubles play, Maroa juniors Lexi and Katie Nellis won 6-1, 6-3, and 6-3, 6-3 in the first two rounds of play before dropping into the consolation bracket following a 6-2, 6-4 loss. There, they didn't drop a game to advance to the fifth round. In a heartbreaker, the Nillises lost 1-6, 6-4, 10-7. Cross-country sectionals set. Area teams competed in cross-country regionals across the state Saturday, with the top seven teams and top five individuals advancing to sectionals. Shelbyville hosted its regional, and its girls team continued the season-long trend of winning. The Rams, led by regional winner Tessa Bowers and four top 10 finishers, won the meet with 33 points and finished 57 points ahead of second place. Monticello, ALAH, and Sullivan are other area teams who advanced from the Shelbyville regional. Central A&M and Argenta Oriana finished 8th and 9th, respectively. In the boys' race, Shelbyville, 2nd, Monticello, 3rd, and Sullivan, 4th, all advanced. St. Teresa finished in 8th place by 13 points to miss out. There was another pair of 1A girls who were regional winners to advance. Tuscola's Kate Foltz won the Chrisman Regional to help the Warriors advance with a 6th place finish, and Maroa Forsyth senior Claire Einer won her second straight regional title alongside setting the Porta course record at 17:03:58. Of note, Einer recently committed to Michigan State for distance track. Also at the Petersburg Regional in the boys' race, Maroa freshman Keegan O'Brien advanced as the fifth individual, and Clinton cleared the field by 48 points to win the title. In the Chrisman boys' race, Tuscola senior Blake McLeese won to help the Warriors place fifth and advance. Qualifiers from the Petersburg Regional advanced to the Elmwood Sectional, while Chrisman and Shelbyville Regional qualifiers moved on to the Toledo Sectional. In 2A cross country, Mount Zion, Charleston, and Mattoon boys finished 3rd, 4th, and 6th, respectively, to all advance to the Mattoon Sectional. Mount Zion's girls team placed 2nd, and Mattoon's finished 5th. To both advance. At the Taylorville Regional, the Tornadoes boys team held off Civic Memorial to claim the regional title, and Lincoln came in 5th. In the girls race, Taylorville clung onto 7th place to nab the final qualifying spot, and Lincoln's Taylor Short advanced as an individual. The advancing Taylorville and Lincoln runners will also compete in the Mattoon Sectional. Volleyball regionals underway. Playoff buzz is in the air across all four sports as the IHSA volleyball postseason began Monday night. Some area teams were knocked out early, while others have taken care of business. All results mentioned will be through Tuesday night. Class 1A. Number one seed Arthur Levington Hammond Atwood took care of business against number 16 seed Arcola. The Knights won 25-5, 25-8 to advance and face 8th seeded Chrisman in the semifinals. In a Lincoln Prairie Conference rematch, number 10 seed Cerro Gordo Bument toppled 7th seed Argenta Orianna in 2 sets. The Broncos faced number 2 seed Hayworth on Wednesday night. Number 11 seed Tuscola pulled an upset over number 6 seed Martinsville, beating the Blue Streaks in 2 sets. The Warriors faced number 3 seed and regional host Windsor Stewardson Strasburg. Rounding out Area 1A action, it was all chalk at the Unity Christian Regional. The third-seeded Lions handled Delavan. The lower-seeded St. Teresa, Meridian, and Central A&M all lost their quarterfinal matchups. In Class 2A, number 1 seed Pena is the 2A headliner, and the Panthers took down Sullivan 25-21, 25-11, behind a strong performance of 20 assists, 11 service points, 9 digs, and 2 kills by Brooke Cox to reach the regional final. There, they'll face Shelbyville, who defeated Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin. In the Warrensburg Regional, Maroa Forsyth got revenge. The Trojans, who lost to the host Cardinals in 3 sets 8 days prior, won in 3 sets Tuesday night. 7th-seeded Prairie Central upset number 2 seed St. Thomas More to meet Maroa in the Warrensburg Regional Final. Monticello, a 5 seed, fell to a tough 4th-seeded Tri-Valley in 2 sets to end its season. In Class 3A, number 4 seed Lincoln took down 6-seeded MacArthur, and the Rail Splitters have home court against top seed Morton in the regional final Thursday night. Number 2 seed Taylorville and number 3 seed Mount Zion each handled their respective opponents, Highland and Civic Memorial, to face each other in the regional final. The Braves are hosting the regional and have home court advantage, though the Tornadoes won both regular season Apollo matchups. Eisenhower, a 7 seed, and Mattoon, a 5 seed, each lost to higher seeded opponents Tuesday night. Decatur Turkey Tournament field set. Thanksgiving is a month away, which means basketball season is right around the corner. The 55th annual Decatur Turkey Tournament field was set last week. Tipping off the later game of opening night, Eisenhower is matched up with Peoria Central on November 25th at 7:30 p.m. The 6 p.m. game that night is between Bolingbrook and Sacred Heart Griffin. MacArthur is the night capper of the following day, November 26th. The Generals will face Springfield Southeast at 7:30 p.m. Playing before them are Peoria Manual and Champaign Central. The tournament is held at Stephen Decatur Middle School. Turning to high school football playoffs, under the article titled Playoff Paths, here's a look at area high schools in the playoffs. This article is by Will Foley. The moment you've all been waiting for has arrived. The IHSA high school football playoffs are here, and there are all sorts of storylines on the table. In classes 3A, 4A, and 5A, the 4 qualified Decatur area teams range from seeds numbers 5 through 14. Here's a look at each Decatur area team seed, matchup, and path to normal. 3A South, Monticello, the number 5 seed. The lone area team in 3A to make the playoffs, the Sages, 7-2, earned the 5th seed in the South bracket and will host their first matchup. Coming to Monticello is number 12 seed Paris, 6-3. The Tigers finished 4th in the Little Illini and only beat one playoff team in the regular season, 1A Casey Westfield. Sages quarterback Nolan Buhner-Kemper steadily improved throughout the season after converting to the position in the offseason. He had games with both 200 plus yards passing and rushing. He's just really kind of grown as a passer, head coach Cully Welter said. We knew he could run the ball well. We knew he was a good athlete and smart kid. He's coming along in these past few weeks in terms of the passing game as well, which is nice. Monticello is hoping to replicate the run it went on last season. A number 6 seed in the 3A South bracket in 2024, the Sages upset number 3 seed Williamsville on their way to the state championship game before falling to Lombard Montini. With a first-round win, Monticello would get a chance at a regular season revenge game, more than likely. Tolono Unity is the 4th seed, and the Rockets beat the Sages 34-7 in Week 2. Kickoff in Monticello is scheduled for 2 p.m. Saturday. 4A South, Mount Zion, number 6 seed. The Braves seem criminally underseeded at number 6, but that's how the cookie crumbles with the playoff points system. They'll still host their first round game. Waterloo, 6-3, will travel to Mount Zion. The Bulldogs, who won 2 games over playoff teams, finished 4th in the Mississippi Valley Conference. Mount Zion went on a roll after its Week 2 loss. Senior quarterback Keller Stocks finished the regular season with 2,002 yards and 26 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, and the Braves' rushing attack is more of a threat compared to last season. They also have 2 All-State level receivers in Jacob Harvey and J.C. Anderson. The Braves' defensive line will have to be ready to stop the run. Waterloo averaged 298.8 rushing yards per game, led in the backfield by Derez Sales, who averaged 116.4 yards per game and reached the end zone 16 times. A common theme in the 2025 playoffs, a potential rematch is arranged for the second round if Mount Zion wins. Number 3 seed Rochester, whose fourth quarter comeback handed the Braves their only loss, could await them. Our kids will be excited to prepare and are excited to be in the playoffs, head coach Patrick Etherton said. We're going to worry about Waterloo and go from there. Kickoff in Mount Zion is scheduled for 7 p.m. Friday. Taylorville, number 14 seed. The Tornadoes won 4 of their last 5 games to sneak into the playoffs. Now they face a perennial giant. Before Mount Zion potentially gets a second crack at Rochester, Taylorville faces the Rockets in the first round. A key for the Tornadoes will be quarterback Isaac Repture's availability. The junior produced 1,401 yards and 15 touchdowns to 2 interceptions in 6.5 games before getting injured against Charleston. With Repture out, Taylorville leaned on its run game to pick up its playoff-clinching win. Senior running backs Owen Mateer and Spencer Brown each surpassed 100 yards against Civic Memorial in a 24-17 comeback win. Rochester leads the 4A field with 9 state titles in its school history and is a top threat to reach double digits. The Rockets employ a balanced offense with several threats. They average 237.8 passing yards per game in a 2-quarterback system and 234.6 yards per game on the ground. They average 47.1 points per game. Defensively, Rochester harasses opposing quarterbacks with 21.5 sacks on the season in addition to 14 forced turnovers. It held opposing teams to 19 points per game. Kickoff in Rochester is slated for 7 p.m. Friday. 5A South, MacArthur, the number 14 seed. The lone area 5A team to make the postseason, the Generals started their season 4-0 before limping into the playoffs with a 5-4 record. Hampered by injuries and with a tough back half of its schedule, MacArthur got a number 14 seed. The Generals will travel to Peoria for their first-round contest. MacArthur will face number 3 seed Peoria High School. Despite the injury bug plaguing MacArthur, junior running back Caden Brown steadied the offense all season long. He produced over 1,300 yards rushing and 17 touchdowns in an offense that averaged 28.1 points per game. The Generals' defense, which allowed 32 points per game in the regular season, will face its biggest test of the year. Peoria, 7-2, averaged a whopping 55.1 points per game offensively. That includes 80 and 76 point performances. The Lions beat Normal Community in the regular season finale to win the Big 12, but they lost to Morris and Normal West. Kickoff in Peoria is scheduled for 7 p.m. Saturday. And now we look at Decatur Area High School Football Playoffs 1A and 2A preview. And this article is also by Will Foley. In 1A and 2A, Decatur Area High School football teams have seeds as high as number 3 and as low as number 15. Now, however, all teams are back to square one with the same objective. Here's a look at each Decatur's area team's seed, matchup, and path to normal. 1A South, Tuscola, the number 3 seed. The lone team in 1A to make the postseason, Tuscola, 7-2, earned the 5th seed in the South bracket and will host its first round matchup. The Warriors drew number 12 seed Nokomis, 6-3. The Redskins are a familiar team, hailing from the Lincoln Prairie Conference, and they finished 4th in the LPC. Senior running back Dylan Graves has powered Tuscola all season long. Graves, 3rd in program history in rushing yards, is a touchdown machine who seemingly rips off lengthy runs for scores every other game. Tuscola, who finished in a 3-way tie atop the HOCIC small division, is a resilient bunch that battled through several one-possession games. Alongside Graves, Miles McKinney is a serviceable back, and quarterback John Petrie is capable of moving the ball downfield. Nokomis is a run-heavy squad with a running back duo that complements each other well. Each with 115 carries, Nolan Herbstreith is an elusive type with 881 yards and 5 scores, and the bruising 6-foot, 230-pound Darrell Evans added 734 yards and 9 scores. Looking ahead, if Tuscola wins and the field plays out as expected, the Warriors will get a regular season rematch in the second round. Casey Westfield, which beat Tuscola 20-16 in Week 2, is the number 4 seed. The Warriors' path won't be easy, but a run is a realistic possibility. 2A South, ALAH, number 3 seed. The Knights are the area's top seed in any class thanks to an undefeated regular season. ALAH's reward for it, a likely Lincoln Prairie reunion. ALAH's first round draw is Marshall, 5-4, as the 14 seed. The Lions finished 3-4 in the Little Illini Conference. Marshall is a run-heavy team like the Knights, but unlike the latter, its production primarily comes from one source. Senior tailback Luca Gianavola leads the Lions with 183 carries for 1,255 yards and 17 touchdowns. He ranks 17th in the state in yards. An ALAH win guarantees a Lincoln Prairie rematch in the second round against the winner of Sullivan-Cumberland. In the regular season, the Knights won those two matchups by 7 and 15 points, respectively. Head coach Ryan Jefferson has built a steady program in Arthur, but the Knights have yet to make the quarterfinals under his guidance. Their path this year to get there is not only clear, but rather favorable. Pena, the number 5 seed. The Panthers are looking dangerous coming into the postseason with 6 straight commanding wins. Number 12 seed Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin, 6-3, is Pena's first round matchup. The Blue Devils finished 4th in the Vermilion Valley and beat just one playoff team, 5-4, Salt Fork. Pena brings an explosive offense that averaged 46.8 points and 413.2 yards per game. several different Panther ball carriers are capable of making plays, and quarterback Parker Moore steadily developed throughout the year, but Cash Lynch is the name to know. Lynch, a senior wide receiver defensive back, compiled 1,445 all-purpose yards and 18 offensive touchdowns, plus a statewide leading 8 receptions in the secondary. A 2024 All-State team nominee, he will likely find himself a two-timer by the end of the season. Pena's defense deserved just as much credit as the offense. Led by Lynch, the Panthers have generated 23 turnovers and 19 sacks. This is head coach Mark Ramsey's 33rd playoff appearance in his 41st season of coaching. A first-round win would place him in sole possession of fourth place in all-time coaching wins in Illinois. With a win, Flora, 8-1, is the number 4 seed that could await Pena in the second round. Maroa Forsyth, number 9 seed. It is a strange sight to see such a high number assigned to the Trojans, but that doesn't mean to count them out yet. Maroa Forsyth stumbled to 2 straight losses and nearly a third last week before an improbable comeback to finish the regular season 7-2. The 8th seed the Trojans will face is Chester, 8-1, which is a 3-hour haul from Maroa. The two teams have already scheduled a 1 p.m. Saturday kickoff. The Yellow Jackets won the Cahokia, Illinois, and suffered their lone loss at Frankfort 6-3. Their offense is very balanced. Quarterback Trayton Peters threw for 1,537 yards on 67.4% completion with 25 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Running back Ethan Colvis's 980 yards and 12 touchdowns led the team's 1,679 rushing yards. Meanwhile, Chester's defense is stingy. It allowed 17.2 points per game and forced 17 turnovers and 10 sacks. Maroa will need all its firepower offense to step up in this one. Quarterback Ryan Shepard is a top 5 statewide passer in yards, 2,243, completion percentage 74.2, and touchdowns 32, along with only one interception. If Maroa wins its first-round contest, a 2024 state rematch against number 1 seed Johnston City will likely happen. The Trojans beat the Indians 41-22 in the semifinals last year. Sullivan, number 11 seed, Cumberland, number 6 seed. As previously mentioned, Sullivan has the chance to get a rematch with ALAH if it wins its first-round game. What wasn't stated is that the Redskins' playoff opener is already their first chance at revenge, as they'll head to Toledo to face number 6 seed Cumberland. Sullivan led 13-0 on the road at Cumberland in Week 7 before the Pirates put up 35 unanswered points in a 35-19 win. A pair of fumbles plagued the Redskins in the loss. Owen Smith and Aiden Dinger are the engines of the Sullivan offense. They combined for 1,455 rushing yards and 21 touchdowns in the regular season. The Pirates finished their season 8-1 with their lone loss to ALAH. Cumberland last missed the playoffs in 2014 when it was playoff eligible but not selected. ALAH is the favorite in the bottom quadrant of the bracket, but as Knights head coach Ryan Jefferson said, beating any team twice in a season will take discipline. Shelbyville, number 15 seed. The Rams did just enough to sneak into the postseason with a 5-4 season and are slotted into the 15th seed. They will face number 2 seed Westville, 9-0. Running back Jaden Meister is the offense's main source of yardage. He took 181 carries for 1,068 yards and scored 9 touchdowns, and he had multiple 200-plus yard games in the season. Linebacker Will Glick, who also took some carries, is a tackling machine who leads the defense. His 123 tackles rank fourth in the state to anchor a defensive unit with 10 interceptions, 9 sacks, and 5 fumble recoveries. Shelbyville's first-round opponent did not mess around in the regular season. The Tigers destroyed opponents by an average of 44 points per game, and their closest result was a 37-14 win over 8-1 Clifton Central.